What's your husband's name again? I'm sorry. Jim. The white one. The white one? Yeah.
Good. We on? Can you hear me? Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Well, welcome to Only Believe Ministries, Canton, Ohio. As a lot of you may know, my parents are on vacation, chilling out where it's nice, warm, hot. They ain't got to worry about any kind of snow. So while they're out there getting rested up, recuperated, and they're praying for us, they're still believing for us, they're thinking about us, you guys get me today. So we're going to pray that God infiltrates the service and everything that happens today is led by him, and we're going to have a good service. So Father God, I just thank you for the service this morning, Lord God. I just praise that you infiltrate every aspect of the service, Lord God, that you are leading us as we go today, Father, and I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are we ready to praise and worship this morning? I have something I pulled up. It's on my heart. It's in Acts. It's Acts 16, and it's verse 25. It's about Paul and Silas when they was in that prison and they was shackled and tied up, whatever they had to do to them. And they sang praises so loud that that prison and the prisoners heard him and that prison crumbled. And that's what we need to do today. We're going to praise you anywhere.
Oh, worthy of all. your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy.
Jesus, your mercy, God. Thank you for your mercy, Jesus.
I'm living proof.
what the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's His goodness and mercy and the power of His blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done, but His goodness and
thank you. I've been down for a little bit. I was sitting here listening to this. Like, why did he replay it? Well, we're going to get there. You understand, his salvation is by faith in him. So when we sing this, we're not like, look, nothing up here that I do, nothing I do in this church, nothing I do anywhere else matters. At the end of the day, it matters about the blood. It said it's in faith alone. So that you could not boast in works. Look, I work. Oh, God, do I work. My wife will tell you, and it drives her absolutely nuts. I'm a workaholic. But there ain't no amount of work. Say it with me. There ain't no amount of work. Come on, I can't hear you. There ain't no amount of work that can get me in. It is the blood. It is only the blood. It is faith in him. You ain't getting it. You ain't getting it. You're not getting it. You're saying, hey, I can get in there, I can pray, I can fast. Yeah, you can do those things, and those things are to get your flesh under control, not so that you can get an A minus or an A. You want to talk about accomplishments, I got a mile of them. I hit 25 and was like, God, at 50, I don't want to look back on 25 years and be ashamed of what I've done. And it hit the ground running, and I took off after everything I could. I've got a wall, and anybody in here who's been in my studio has seen my wall. And it's a wall of accomplishments and achievements and things that I've accomplished, but that stuff don't matter. Are you hearing me? Look, I got a couple of seconds to burn. The next song's mine. I'll cut it short. Are you getting it? It's the blood. You ain't getting it. It's the blood. That's something to shout about. That's something to get excited about. It's the blood. Works won't do it. It can't. He did it. Start coming in here like we're actually alive. Are you saved? I asked the question, are you saved? Then you got something to celebrate. I'm done.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sorry.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Stories that prove.
I've seen miracles mine can comprehend. There is beauty in what I can understand. Jesus sent you. Jesus sent you. I've lived stories that proved your faithfulness. I've seen me. And there is beauty in what I can understand. Jesus sent you. Jesus sent you. And I believe you're a wonder-working God. You're a wonder-working God. Oh, the miracles I've seen. You're too good and I believe. You're a wonder-working God. And you heal because you love. Oh, the miracles I've seen. You're too good and I believe. You're a wonder-working God. You're a wonder-working God. Miracles I've seen.
You got to be scared to come down to the altar today if you want to. Come on, we're going to have a church service today. We ain't just going to sit in our seats and just partially interact with God and the Holy Ghost. I want you to get bold. He died openly for you. You need to confess him openly. He said, if you won't confess me before men, I won't confess you before the angels of God. How scary of a thought is that?
Resurrect a man with my own hand. Just the mention of your name can raise the dead. All the glory to the only one who can. Jesus is the help. Jesus is the help. I believe you're a wonder-working God. You're a wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, you're too good to not believe. God, you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see. It's too good to not believe. You're a wonder-working God. You're a wonder-working God. All the miracles I see. It's too good to not believe. You're a wonder-working God. And you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see. You're too good to not believe. You're too good to not believe. You're too good to not believe. After everything I've seen, you're too good to not believe. You're too good to not believe. You're too good to not believe. After everything
got it together. You don't want to get showed. It's okay.
Cause I've seen cancer disappear. You didn't tell me can't do it. I've seen mental health restore. Don't you tell me. I see
can't.
Don't you tell me can't do it. Don't you tell me can't do it. I've seen real resurrection. I've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me can't do it. Don't you tell me. Don't you tell me can't do it. I've seen real souls delivered. I've seen addicts finally free. Don't you tell see cities. Salvation by the tree. Don't you tell me can't do it. Don't you tell me can't do it.
That he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Logan, I don't understand what you're saying. Well, who's pride? What's pride? You know, really, pride in its essence is actively looking God in the face and saying, no. I ain't gonna do it. You can't talk to me like that. I know what it is. I've done it. I've done it 100 times over. Just exposing yourself. It's just a little highlight for what we're gonna be doing on Thursday. I'm sorry. You do not want to miss next week. I'm telling you. Pride. It's the essence of everything that will ever go wrong in your life. You don't know that. I do know that. I have hurt people that I said I cared about, people that I was working with in ministry, people that you wouldn't even believe some of the things that these guys have poured into me over the years, and I still turn around to spit in their face. That's what pride does. Oh yeah, you're getting uncomfortable. It's all right. It's okay. I love you. I love you enough to tell you. Somebody didn't love me enough to tell me about hell until he showed up. That's a story for Thursday. Did not love me enough. I love you enough to tell you right now that your pride, if you don't get it under control, it is going to shipwreck everything that you do.
I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen them place the song. Yes, I know that he can do it. Yes, I know. Yes, I know that he can do it. Yes, I know that he can do it. I've seen families reunited. I've seen prodigals return. Don't you know that he can do it? Yes, I know that he can do it. I've seen trapped souls delivered. I've seen addicts finally free. Yes, I know that he can do it.
No!
that he's too good to not believe. When I came to Christ, I was a heroin addict. I was sitting on my grandmother's couch, detoxing, and I gave my life to Jesus, watching John Hagee Ministries on her TV. The next day, I was out smoking crack with my friends. And immediately, my grandma or my family was all like, oh, she didn't change. God didn't do nothing. God didn't do anything. A few months go by, and thankfully, a man was very persistent in getting my husband to church. And I came in here still high, still broken, and I fought with him so much because he wanted to take all of my drugs and get rid of them because he was changed. And I didn't want to do it. I did not want to do it. I was so broken, and I thought because I was raised in the church and I seen everybody doing wrong, that this God was, there was no way this God was going to be able to change me because he can't even change these people. But I'm telling you that he is too good to not believe. I stand here today completely redeemed, and there's a world out there. That is our mission field out there, yes. Not just in here. When we walk out these doors, those people are crying for you to tell them about Jesus. I was crying for somebody to tell me about Jesus and show me him. Show me him with their actions. So when I came to church and God completely changed everything in me, he showed me, he said, there are people that are going to come in here with broken chains above their heads, ready for war for him. And it's going to be because of you guys sharing who he is, but you have got to get out of your comfort zone and do it.
I hope you got one more.
Well, I've searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise, treasures in vain. Never enough. You came along and put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied. Here in love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Jesus. Nothing. I'm not afraid.
As you turn seas into highways, you're the only one who cares. The only one who cares. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing is better than you. There's nothing, Jesus, nothing. As you turn bones into armies, as you turn seas into highways, you're the only one who cares. You turn great, you turn great into carnage. You turn bones into armies, you turn seas into highways.
There's something left in you. Come on. Come on. It ain't about me. It's about him. I can't hear you well over my ears, but I should be able to. I said I can't hear you well over these ears, but I should be able to. He should be able to hear you. He's still there. I think it's got like one more bridge on it. I tried to cut it out. She didn't want to cut it out. You just gonna wait?
You turn mornings and days. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. You turn hate into kindness. You turn bones into heart. As you turn seas into highways, you're the only one who can. You turn red. You turn bones into armies. As you turn seas into highways, you're the
guys, but I ain't worship like that in a minute.
Whew. All right. Well, I have a couple announcements. We're just going to go ahead and get the announcements, and we're going to do the offering real quick, because this message I believe God wants me to give to you guys is definitely in season. So the first Saturday in February is the woman's breakfast at 9 o'clock in the morning. And Marie will be sharing the word that morning. So any ladies who have not been yet, I highly suggest you go. Oh, there you guys are. I can see you now. But I highly suggest you go because as you hear when my mom's up here bragging about how great it is, that you ladies are really getting into the word, praying, seeking, and believing, and encouraging each other. February 16th, for any of you married couples, or anybody looking to get married, or you just want to know more about it, we have a marriage conference going on right here. It starts at 6, right? 6 o'clock. Starts at 6 o'clock. We will be having, just like last year, it'll be the campus pastors coming in and talking about their marriage. I'm not going to lie, I forgot what the title is. But I encourage you guys to come. I was at two of them last year. And I will say that when it's people that you live life with, people that you are around, people who you see every day, and to you guys, you might see only certain parts of their life. But then when they sit down, they get to open up and be real and be 100%. It changes a lot for not just them, but for you. And then the third Saturday in February is the men's breakfast. Details are completely unknown by me. So when my dad gets back, we'll get that and figure that out. For offering, I don't have a whole lot. I have two words that Jesus gave me this whole entire time I was studying, and that's try me. And we know in the Bible says, Jesus tells us to try him and see if he will not make a way. Well, whatever it is that God's got some of you going through, or whatever you guys are walking through, whatever you're believing God for, especially if it's financial or if it's something else, try Jesus. Try. Put your faith in it. Especially if it's a financial thing, try it. Like, I've had issues myself because, you know, being a single man, living, especially when I was younger, I didn't save very well. Very bad with saving money. But it was kind of funny. I look back at it now, and I've never been in a situation where I thought I was going to lose something. Everything I ever needed was taken care of. And then I even got stuff that I wanted that I probably didn't need, and looking back on, I may not have needed to get, but it was there. So that's all I got for offering, is just try them. So I'm going to pray. We're going to put the buckets out. Father God, I just thank you for the offering today, Lord God. I thank you that as each and every person in here tries their faith with you, Father, that you show them exactly who you are and what you can do in their situations, Father God, because we know that you are able to do anything and everything. In Jesus' name, amen. My dad told me I was doing these. He told me I was doing this Sunday, and I'll be doing next Sunday. And so I really, and it was right around the start of the 21 days of prayer. So I was like, well, God, I actually have some time to prepare this time. So I'm going to take my time. And while I'm here, I'm going to pray on what I need to preach on and what I feel like we really need to hear as a congregation. And Jesus gave me a word for both weeks, and that's standard. Standard. What standard are we living by? And so today, in the first part of the standard, we are going to talk about why do we continue to try to hide it from God? There are things in our lives, each and every single one of us, me included, And I have been really bad about this in my life because growing up, I had always learned I got to handle it myself. But things that we hide from God, and for all the different reasons, we're going to get into that. But the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to read out of Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. And, you know, it was offering message on Thursday. Jason kind of touched on it. It's about Ananias and Sapphira. And it says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also, being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing those words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and a great fear came to all who heard these things. And the young men rose, bound him up, and carried him and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered to her, tell me whether you sold the land for as much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Holy Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husbands are at the door and shall carry thee out. And then she fell down at his feet and yielded up her ghost, and they carried her out and buried her by her husband. Now, when I read that and God was talking to me about hiding it, obviously my first thought is, well, what am I hiding money-wise? Because I tried my best to honor God in every aspect. And God was like, why does it have to be money? And I was like, what? And so God started giving me a list. Why? What are things that we hide or we try to keep from God and try to hold on to ourselves? Things that are pleasing to us. Things that are comfortable. And even sometimes things that are hurting us, but we're so familiar with it, we won't let it go. And then I started thinking, well, why would we let those go? And sometimes we hold on to things because we think that we can handle it. We think that we're capable of handling the situation. Now, Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. But with me, you can do everything. But because of how our minds work as human beings, we still, as Logan mentioned earlier, we have the pride to say, oh, well, I can take care of this. And some of the other reasons is, well, you just enjoy it too much. There's something in your life that you might be holding on to, and God's sitting there saying, maybe you should just let that one go. And you're like, well, God, I'll do it later. Right now, I'm just kind of enjoying it. I'm just kind of living life. I'll do it later. And then there are those other times where we're like, oh, well, it's not a big deal. It doesn't really matter if I do this or if I hold on to this or if I keep this part. It's not that big a deal. I'll give God all of this, but this ain't really that big of a deal. But in the Bible, Jesus says, whether you lie or whether you murder or whether you murder or you think about it, the sin is the same. So it doesn't matter how big, how small, how whatever it is, it's still the same. And so typically, we start to wonder, and I believe that there's some of us in here today that are sitting here stuck in an area of your life, and you're wondering, God, well, why can't I just move on? Why can't I have this? God, I'm believing that you're bringing me this, and I believe I should already have it. Why don't I have it? Now, sometimes, in some cases, God has to work things out, and he has to prepare you, get you ready, and prepare you for it, and prep you to handle that next level. Sometimes the reason why we can't handle that next level is because we have to use both hands to hold on to it. And you have one hand that's free, and you have another hand that's holding on to something back here that you like too much. Now, it could be something big. It could be something huge. You could be an adulterer. Not saying anybody in here is. I believe all you saved. But you could be off being promiscuous, having sex outside of marriage. You'd be doing all that. And for you, because you enjoy it, you want to hold on to that, but you want the things of God as well. Well, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He'll fall. You're not going to get anything from God if you're holding on to that. But, like, for me at times and how my life works, I get lazy. I'm not going to lie. I get lazy. There's times where I'm sitting at home and I know I need to be doing something. But, you know, Logan blessed me with a recliner. That recliner sometimes, man, it gets a little too comfortable and I just sit there longer than I should. But even in that disobedience, even something that small, is still huge when it comes to the spiritual things, because what I could be doing could be advancing me to already have what I've been believing for. But I just want to hold on. I just want to stay. I don't want to give it up. And then in Matthew, how do I have all these labeled? I don't remember which ones they are. Matthew chapter 11, 28 verse 30. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There it is. All you got to do is give your issue to God. All you got to do is take whatever you're holding on to and let it up. See, sometimes we hold on to the issues that are going on in life. We start focusing on, oh, well, this is going wrong and that's going wrong and my family member over here is dealing with this situation. My family member over here is dealing with that situation. And we hold on to the frustration that is happening. And sometimes that frustration of the situation causes us to start think things like, oh, well, they should just do this or do this or do that. But then Jesus is saying, why don't you just give it to me? Because Jesus already made the plan. Jesus already made the way. I mean, we believe and we take the leap of faith, but who orders our steps? So if Jesus orders our steps, whatever situation is going on, whether it's in your life or in somebody else's life, there's no need to worry. We hold on to worry, we hold on to doubt, we hold on to fear because we are emotional creatures, we are human beings, and we care. And that is an amazing thing. The love that comes from another human being over somebody else is amazing. But when God has ordered the steps of a situation, we have to let it go. See, for me, that was hard. And you guys know, a few years ago, we had that ordeal and issue in my family, and we had a season where things just kind of were rough. And to some of you, it may seem like I handled it really well, and I was here faithfully, and I was doing. It got to a point for me personally where I wasn't here because I believed God could do it. I was here because I was so used to just doing it that it just become mundane for me. And for the ones that were close to me, even though I probably never told them, I should have told them, they could see it, that there was a weight. And it weighed me down a lot. I got quieter than I normally am, and I'm already one who, I'm not a big talker as it is, unless you know me really well. But I got quieter. I pushed myself away. I isolated myself away. And I was just going through the motions. Now, the one thing that did kind of keep me to where I wasn't fully going through the motions was I have a responsibility. I'm in charge, and I hold responsibility for your teens' lives and souls while they're here learning from me. So for me, that was the one area in my life that I still drove at, because even though I was in a mess, even though I was in a struggle, I wanted to make sure that what I gave the teenagers was not the mess that I was dealing with, but was a word that would help them and encourage them. And, you know, God, being God, during that season of time, he tried to use every message that I gave to these kids as a way for me to get out of what I was in. Now, you know, we're human beings, and sometimes we don't listen, and we struggle, and we go through this. But the crazy thing was, I didn't realize that I was just pitying myself and my family. And I was just sitting here moping around, when instead of moping around, why didn't I just take control of the situation because the Holy Ghost gave me the power to speak over it. The Holy Ghost gives each and every single one of you the power to speak over your life and your situation. But we get so caught up in all the material things and all the situational things and what we see that we start to hold on to what the doubt is telling us. We start to hold on to what the fear is telling us. We start to latch on to everything that's telling us that it ain't gonna work. But God makes a way where there seems to be no way. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. So what do we have to doubt? What do we have to doubt? We just had 21 days of prayer, and I get life's busy. Life is crazy. But let me ask a question. How many of us took the time to pray? And you don't have to answer, but just ask yourself. How many of you took that time to pray throughout the 21 days? And you didn't have to be here. Like, there was some of us here. I'm not sitting here saying you had to be here. What I'm saying is, how many of you intentionally took that time throughout your day in these last 21 days where you actually prayed? Now ask yourself this question. How many of you had issues that have been going on in your life that you could have prayed about if you didn't? See, we sit here and struggle and we fight and we tear and we claw and we gnash at life because we get so caught up in our minds and how we want this to go this way. We want this to plan out this way. And sometimes things look great. Like, we get to that point where everything starts looking great. Family's doing great. Spirit's moving in our lives. Everything's going great. And then all of a sudden, boom, an explosive happens in your life. And now there's a situation that looks like it's completely lost and hopeless. But yet God's still there. God's still holding on. If you can humble yourself and pray, that instruction's already there. It's not that he's going to give it to you. It's already given. You already have it. You just have to stop and pray and listen and seek God in the situation. And so then we could talk about doubt a little bit too, because we like to be human beings who question everything. So we like to doubt and we like to question God a lot. But it says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." How many times do we try to handle situations on our own because, oh, well, we just know how to do it? We get so caught up in, well, this is how this situation happened last time. This is what I had to do. So I'm just going to take care of it. I'm just going to do it. And then we get into that mode of repetitiveness. I got into the mode of repetitiveness of how I interacted with my dad and how I did this and how I did that. And I came to realize how much different it would have been if when I was around, I spoke life. If when I was around, I spoke what the Holy Ghost was trying to put in me to speak. When I was in my prayer closet, if I didn't just, oh, God, I can't believe this is happening. No, God, I see what is happening. I see what the enemy is trying to do, because the weapons will always be formed. See, sometimes we take that, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and we take that and think, oh, hey, no weapon formed will prosper, then I don't even have to worry. It's not going to hit me. It's not going to affect me. But it doesn't say it's not going to be made. It doesn't say it's not going to hit the mark. It said that no weapon formed shall prosper. That means that the weapon's going to happen. It's coming. The shot will be fired. And sometimes it's going to hit exactly what it's intended to hit. But that doesn't mean that when it happens, we fall into a state of mopiness. And that's the word I use for it, because that's what I was. I was mopey. I just sloughed around. I didn't really put effort into stuff. Then when I realized what I was doing and got back up and started moving, I started to realize just how easy it is to to walk in the steps of God, even through the midst of all the garbage that's going around. See, some of us in the church, we might be scared to step out and to do things in here because we don't know, well, is it going to happen again? We want to be dedicated to the church. We want to do the outreaches. We want to go do all these things. But we start to have these doubts. Well, what if he has one of the, what if he goes back? What if he reverts? And I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen. When God did the healing, God said it is finished, it is done. We are moving on. And we have kind of gotten stuck in a rut of just day-to-day mundane things. And I love all of you. And I'm not just talking about all of us. I'm talking about myself. We have all gotten stuck in a rut where, church, we're the church of the extra mile. And if we're going to be real with ourselves, when's the last time we went the extra mile as a church? Let's be real. And I'm not talking to all y'all. I'm talking to me too. When's the last time we took the extra mile? When's the last time we went out and actually spoke to people and actually witnessed to people, showed the love of Christ, and been who we are supposed to be? Like an oasis of love and a shelter of hope. When we're in here, it's love. Like, everybody loves everybody. I get love even in the times when I come in the morning, I'm half asleep, and Carrie's sitting there trying to jump on my back and tackle me. And, and it's fine. I'm not a touchy-feely person. If you guys don't know, I'm not a big hugger. I'm not a big, like, me and Logan kind of in the same boat with that. We don't like to be, well, Logan gets that little, his family, but that's different. Don't even. but it's love in here. And I believe you guys love out there, but where are the people that we're supposed to be reaching? If they're not coming in here, why are they not coming in here? Is it because when we leave here, we kind of hold on to that fear of, well, if I go reach out to this person, they're going to act this way. Or if I go reach out to that person, they're going to do this. Or I went to reach out to this person, but their argument was actually kind of, you know, and it gets us thinking. Like, there are some people out there who don't believe in God, and they have great, wonderful minds, and, like, they're very convincing at times. I had a guy talk to me. I work with a guy. He believes he's an atheist. Funniest thing ever, he believes that he's an atheist. He'll sing his daughter church hymns and all that to put her to sleep. But he's an atheist. And he told me one time, he was like, man, I just don't believe in God. And he starts going in and he starts rolling on it. And I just kind of looked at him. I said, you know, I said, to the mind, that's a good point. Okay, I hear you. He was like, so I just don't understand. And he was talking about how a good God and all this evil in the world and all this. And I said, okay. I said, you got a daughter, right? He was like, yeah. I said, tell your daughter not to touch the stove, right? He said, yeah. I said, so what happens if she touches the stove? Her father don't exist because she touched the stove. Like, you're not there to actually protect her, help her. She touched the stove. Well, I can't control everything she does. I said, oh, really? I said, you can't control everything your own daughter does, even though you know what's best for her, even though you know what's going to keep her out of danger, what's going to help her grow, what's going to help her become a strong and amazing woman someday. You know all of that, but you can't control that? He's like, I see what you're trying to do. I said, I'm not trying to do anything. I said, I don't have to try. It's already out there. God showed us what he's like when he shows you the love of a father. Now, some of us may have missed out on what that love looked like at a young age and in your life because, you know, life happens and sometimes we don't have fathers. But then when you come to Christ and you find out who God really is, and then you have a spiritual father who shows you the love of the father that's needed and necessary, and you see that, how is it so hard to believe that God exists? But how is it so hard for us to love God enough, and God loves us so much that we can't go out and share it every chance and opportunity we get? Now, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about this on on Friday, I work on this new machine now, and it's been interesting 2 weeks. It's kind of a long story, but I'll just talk about this. On Friday, there's a kid who's only been there for a couple weeks. And they had talked about wanting to get somebody over there to help me out, and so that way I'm not doing everything on my own because there's a lot to do. And so he comes over, and he's mad because he had to move. He moved to an area he doesn't know about. He's 19, 20 years old, and he's a little young. He's fiery. I don't get it. And he's just going off, and he's just going and going. And I'm doing my best, like, okay, man, this is what it is. This is why you're doing it. You're only here for today, blah, blah, blah. He's like, well, I just don't care, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of his ranting and raving and arguing, he goes, man, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten 2 days, and I thought I was going to do this, and I thought I was getting, because we have direct deposit, so, but our first 2 weeks, you get paper checks. So he thought he was getting direct deposit. He was going to eat. He's like, I'm hungry. I said, let's stop right there. I said, you're hungry. He goes, yeah, man, I haven't eaten in two days. I said, do you want food? And at first, you know, I'll put it this way. I'll do it like, if I go to Logan and tell him, I'm going to buy your food. Now it might be a little different, but when me and Logan first got close, it was, we would have arguments and fights on who would get to buy whose food. Like, he would get mad at me, I'd get mad at him, but that's just how it was. Well, this kid had that same look, like, you ain't buying my food. I said, be honest with me. If I could get you some food right now, would you take it? Yeah, man, I just need to eat something. I said, okay. Hand him a little bit of money. He goes and gets food, and it changed everything. Then he starts going, oh, I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back. I said, hold up. I said, did you ask me? He was like, well, no. I said, I asked you if you needed it, right? He's like, yeah. I said, okay, so I'm here to bless you. I said, this is the love of God. When you need it, it's there. And then he kind of, and it was interesting because it bounced back and forth because he was always like, man, I just don't know if I believe all this God stuff. I just don't know if I, and the craziest thing was at one point before we even got to that, in my head I'm thinking, Lord, if you don't get this kid away from me, Lord Jesus, I'm like, I might not be saved in about 20 minutes. Like, I really, and I had to stop. And then when I heard him say that, it was almost as if God blocked out everything except for I'm hungry. As soon as I heard God say that and I acted on what God wanted me to do, he was totally different. And it was like almost, he was almost in shock that somebody would be willing to do that for him. It doesn't take much for us to be the church of the extra mile. It doesn't take much for us to go and reach just a little bit outside of our comfort zone. And you don't have to, like, fully jump off the deep end. You don't have to do what God does to me sometimes and just says, oh, hey, here, do this. And I'm like, God, I'm not ready for that. And God's like, you're good. You don't have to do all that. It takes one step at a time. Why are we sitting here looking around at a bunch of empty seats when we are all men and women of God who have the ability, the love, the grace, the mercy to reach out to the next person? Like, why are we holding on to little things? And I know sometimes we get into that, well, this person just said they'll never come to Christ. That's okay. I said, Logan said he's going to talk about his relationship with Shane. I still remember Shane telling me the first time he asked Logan to come to church. Boy, that reaction was hilarious. But I'm going to let Logan get into that. But, I mean, if you want to talk about it and you want to look at it, of all the situations of reaching out to people, all the situations of not hiding and staying away from stuff, Logan's a great example. I don't like picking on Logan a lot up here. Outside of here, absolutely. I don't like picking up on him up here. He's my brother, and I've known what his life is. I know what he's been through. But if you really want to look at what it is for anybody, and I mean anybody, going through anything to come to Christ and be saved, Logan's testimony is a great example. His wife's testimony is a great example. And to see not just where he's come from in that, but then look at his kids. It's crazy as they can be sometimes. But they're kids who will never know what he had to go through. You're never going to experience that. No matter how many times you tried to be like your dad when you were younger and like be all like, you're never going to know. Because everything him and your mom did covered so much in your life that all you're going to know is the blessings, the peace, the tough love, and all the grace and mercy because, but because of everything that somebody else has gone through. Like, we're going to bring people in here that have gone through stuff that every single one of us has gone through. And we see these people daily. And what's holding back, what's holding our heart back enough to go out and reach those people? Like, you see somebody that's been in the mess that you've been in at some point in your life, that should automatically be the ultimate pull and tug to say, hey, I see what you're going through. And I know somebody who can help you get out of it. I know somebody who helped me get out of it. Let me show you what that looks like. So, message went just a little bit differently than what I was expecting. But hey, God is good all the time. So then I'm going to read this last one. And it's in Luke chapter 9. And it's verse, we'll do 57 through 62. We'll go up a little bit. It said, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but first let me go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's actually really, really, really tough to say. Like, if you're holding on to the plow, but you're looking back at all the things back there, it says you're not fit for the kingdom. But why is it that you're not fit for the kingdom if you're looking back? Because the Bible says that when you come into Christ, you are a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, everything in your life is made new. So when you come to Christ, and for those of you who are walking in Christ and maybe there's something you're kind of struggling with today, understand this. We die daily. So the stuff you're dealing with today, the issues going on today, the stuff that you need to break off today, get with God. And when you wake up tomorrow, you should already be broken of that, and that shouldn't be an issue. Now, granted, there are some things that we're going to struggle with. There's some stuff you're going to have to walk out, you're going to have to wrestle with. I mean, Jacob wrestled with an angel all night to get his blessing. And he got up. He ain't walked the same. He started walking with a limp. Like, sometimes you're going to have to wrestle. After you're done wrestling, yes, you're going to come up and you're not going to look the same. You may not walk the same. You may not speak the same. You may not even react the same to people. But that's because God is making you a new creation daily. You are not supposed to be the same you were yesterday. You're supposed to be made new each and every single day. So that way, when you come in contact with people who aren't saved or people who are struggling with stuff or maybe family members that are going through something that we may not agree with, like, or want them to do, but when you're walking daily with God, the love that Christ emits to you and the wisdom that it emits to you is now going to be shown on how to really go about that situation. Because here's the thing, we can't go against anybody else's faith. If somebody's believing God for something, let's say Logan's believing God for $10 million. And he has a plan. He knows what he's going to do. But he tells me, and I look at him, I say, man, that's a little wild for you. I don't know if you should be. What am I doing? Am I the brother that's helping him? Or am I the brother that's going that could potentially kill his blessing? Now, granted, it really doesn't matter what I speak as long as he speaks and holds on to God. But what I speak could put a seed of doubt in his life. And he could be sitting there like man, he might just be right. I might end up spending it on all the Dungeons and Dragons stuff, and I might not have any money when I'm done. But what I should be doing, he's telling me this, and he's telling me what he's going to use it for, what he's believing God to do for it. Man, I'm going to believe right there with you on why you getting that blessing, man. God, give me $10 million so I could be right there with him. Like, our faith should be, we see our brother who's believing what God has said to him and holding on to it and walking with it. And we should be, you know what? I'm going to stand right there and believe with you. And sometimes we may not agree. Logan might be believing for something that we don't agree on. Logan's one of my closest friends. He loves Dungeons and Dragons. I can't stand it. But he's still one of my closest friends. We need to sit down and talk about God, or we need to sit down and talk about life. We're going to sit down and talk about life. We're going to be real about it. He going to say something that might potentially hurt me. I might say something that might potentially hurt him. But at the end of the day, iron sharpens iron. So he might be believing for something that I may not 100% agree with, or I may think that goes against what he really should be doing. Doesn't matter what I think. What matters is he fully believes that God told him. So my job and my responsibility as his brother is to stand right there with him in faith and believe right with him on it. I can't let what my own thoughts, my own feelings, and my own emotions about something hold me back from believing for a brother. I can't let him stop me from believing what I want and what I think. There is so much that I have missed out on in my life personally because I kept holding on to little things that I should have just let go. There are relational things that I've gone through in my life. I didn't have to deal with it. I really didn't have to deal with it. But, you know, you get hurt, you hold on to it. You get lied to, you hold on to it. You get talked about behind your back, you hold on to it. And then when you get into the next situation, you're like, well, I don't really know if I could be honest with this person because I was this person, and that person. They all did this to me. And what am I doing? I'm holding soulless ties on the things that's going to keep me from getting what God is trying to get me. I mean, it says the man who findeth a wife findeth a good thing, right? And I'm sitting here holding on to these little things that are going to keep me from getting what God has for me, all because I can't learn to let go of what I need to let go of. So what are we holding on to? What kind of standards are we going to have in our life? Basing on what God wants, or basing on what we've experienced in our life? Our standards should never be lowered off of what God has just because of all the things we had to deal with. So my challenge this week is, when you go home, look at your life. See if there's anything you're holding on to. Now, I'm not saying all of you are holding on to something. All of you are not saying that. Some of you are walking it out. I've seen lives grow. I've seen people change. I've seen God do immense things around here with individuals in here. But where are our standards at? What are we holding on to? What does it lie at? And then, after we ask ourselves that question, I got to do this myself. What's keeping me from being the witness that goes the extra mile? Because church, we're a church of extra mile. We're all saved, going to heaven, and what are we supposed to be doing? Going and getting as many people to bring with us as we can. But what have we done? Me included, what have we done? Oasis of love and shelter of hope. Where's the ones who are hopeless? Where's the ones who don't feel the love? Where are the ones that sit here and struggle and go through situations and go through problems We just had a couple that came in for the last month, and God has changed them in such a short time. It's not that we can't, it's not that we're not going to be able to reach and love people to the change, but what are we doing to go get them to bring them in here for it? So, not going to lie, that is not exactly how I thought my message would go, but I believe that's what God wanted me to give you guys today. So I'm going to go ahead and pray real quick. Father God, I just thank you for the service today, Lord God. I pray that everything that was done today, Father, was honorable to you, Father, that the words that were spoken were your wisdom, Lord God, and not wisdom of my own, Father. And I just thank you that each and every person, as they go out of here today, Lord, that they just continue to grow in you, Father God. They just continue to hold on to you and nothing but you, Lord God, and that their hands stay empty of anything that's not of you, so that way when you give it to them, Lord God, they can take it and they can run with it and they can grow it. I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, as you guys know, on Thursday, Logan's going to be preaching, but I pray you all have a blessed week and enjoy yourselves, and you are dismissed.